Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Brother Miles has us singing, doesn't he? Whatever it is, we thank God for the song service, and we thank God for Brother Miles leading us in those songs. And for each and every one of you who were participating, we thank God for that as well. Before I get started, someone handed me, looks like part of an earpiece or something, or an iPod maybe that was left. If this belongs to anyone, we'll have it up front here. It'll be up here. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it looks like it's something you would want if it's yours. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of 1 John chapter 3 in the verses of 1, 2, and 3. Let us go to God in prayer this morning. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed this morning because we are still here. We are blessed because we know you, O Lord. We are blessed because we got up this morning. We are blessed because our stomachs are full this morning from the food you gave us. And most of all, we're blessed because we know you, O Lord. Thank you, though, Lord, for allowing us to know you. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to be your children. Thank you this morning for each and every member in the audience this morning. And thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and for each and every member in this congregation. Thank you for those who are visiting with us today. And we hope and pray, O Heavenly Father, that your message will be delivered today that may touch someone's heart and cause them to ask the question, what must I do? Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us to sleep on last night, and then, Father, you woke us up this morning. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything that you do for us. Father, I come praying for those who are sick and shut in today and asking you, if it be your will, that you would continue to give them blessings that they may heal, be healed and be able to come back with us once again. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we live in a country that's divided. We live in a world that's divided. But we pray that you can bring us back together, O Lord, by coming through and coming to you, rather, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the people of this city of Boston who have undergone so much turmoil and trouble in the last week. We pray for those families who have lost loved ones and those people who have lost limbs and use of their body parts, O Heavenly Father. We pray for the people in China, O Lord, who are going through an earthquake. We pray for the people right here at home, O Lord, who have been devastated by the floods. Father, your heavens opened up and the rains came down, but we know you were in control and we knew that you would stop it when you got ready to stop it. And I thank you, O Heavenly Father. I thank you, O Lord, for your Son Jesus who died on yonder's cross that we may have a right to the tree of life. Now, my Heavenly Father, I pray and ask you to be with us and be with these services and watch over and keep us, Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus. Let us say amen. This morning, read your bulletins and you'll find in there an accident which occurred with Sister Yolanda Hill. And we want to continue to pray for Sister Hill and make sure that we ask God to heal her, if it be your will. And Brother Beck sends his regards to the church, and he wants us to know that his wife is healing and that she is doing much better and that he misses everybody. So let us continue to pray for all of those who are on the sick list today. We are God's children. That's what we're going to talk about today. As God's children, or as the text calls us, the sons of God. We know that as long as we stay faithful and obedient, we have something better to look forward to. In Proverbs chapter 4 and the verses 18, it speaks of the path of the just. Being God's children, there is a better day coming. All we have to do is just to hold on. Things in this life sometimes become awful dark and bleak. But it's only for a little while. For one day all of our trials and travails are going to be over. And if we have remained the child of God, we can go from our earthly home to a home with God. This morning, if you look at the scriptures in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and do not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. For every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. Once again, we are children. We are God's children. What do we have now? We are sons or children of God because He loved us. No way could we be where we are now without His love. Notice in verse number 1 that I just read, where it asks the question, what manner of love, makes the statement, I should say, where it says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We should not be surprised by the actions of the world toward us. How can they not treat us like they treat us, because they know not God? And so if they know not God, they don't know any better. And that's where we come in as church folk. We've got to learn to teach folk about God. We've got to learn to tell folk, I should say, about God. We've got to learn to let folk know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. The actions of the world are seemingly sometimes backwards compared to what we think they ought to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the verses number 19, the Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, Christians are the opposite to the world, in that the world walks by sight. But as Christians, we walk by faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Or at least we should be walking by faith. I would hope that we would not lose sight of that fact, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see heaven, but we can get a vivid picture of it through the Word of God. We can't see Jesus, but we can get a picture of Him through the Word of God. We can't see God, but we can see a picture of Him through His Word. Isn't that right, church? Because we are children of God, we have a relationship with Him. And because of this relationship, we can have fellowship with Him. Sometimes God's children lose sight of this fellowship. Fellowship, you got to understand what fellowship is. Fellowship is companionship, a relationship where the parties involved have a commonality. We have fellowship with God the Father as well as with God the Son. In John chapter 14, in the verses number 23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Then in 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 3, chapter 3 in verse number 1, it says again, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Some folk have a tendency sometime to want to separate the Father from the Son. But Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 30, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Therefore we cannot love the Father and not love the Son. You must love them both. If you love the one, you must love the other. That would be like saying, I love my left eye, but I don't particularly care for my right eye. That's what you're saying if you're saying I love one but I don't love the other one. They work together. Our eyes work together. And that's how it is with the Father and the Son. They work together as one. Thank you this morning, Lord, that You have blessed us, that we are able to see Your will through Your Word. Because of this fellowship and this relationship, we are privileged to be able to call upon Him through prayer. And when we should always talk to Him about everything. Christians should never be in a way that they don't or can't call upon the Lord. When we are in sickness, we call on Him. When we are in need, we should learn to call upon Him. When we are in financial distress, many of us have learned to call upon Him. Just when we think We are into a bad situation. Sometimes we learn to call upon Him sooner rather than later. That's the way I think we ought to be. We ought to call upon Him every time we need Him. And even when we don't need Him, we ought to call upon the Lord. No matter what we may be facing, we've got to learn to go to Him in prayer. For He can supply not some, but all of our needs. We have this privilege available to us right now. And while we can't see Him, we can still reach Him. But we should make no mistake about it. God sees us, and He sees and knows everything that we do. He is watching us. But I tell you something, the best is still yet to come. We live in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker. Folk harming one another for no reasons other than they just for their own self-gratification. We may get over on one another, but God sees everything. To the person who thinks he is fooling God, he's like the blind being led by the blind, and they both shall self-destruct. In verse number 2 of our text, watch what it says. It says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now this text speaks to those who are His, and some folk, we just don't seem to understand something. We don't know what we shall be yet. We have this privilege available. We have this privilege available to us as God's children. He has the right as His children, as we are His children. He has the right to whip us, if you will. He has the right to chasten us. According to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6 and verse number 7, it speaks of God's chastening those He loves. As children, even children of God, we have the need sometimes to be corrected. Sometimes we get off key or off balance, and sometimes we fall into sin. Sometimes we fall off the track, if you will, of God's Word, and we need to be put back on. But I tell you something, if we endure, God deals with us as His sons. That's the kind of Father that we have. I love the Lord and the Lord loves me, and we ought to all be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me this day, because I wasn't the best on yesterday or last night. But I tried, Lord. Can you still love me anyway?" We ought to be praying and asking God to continue to strengthen us when we fall short in our ways and our walk in life. We don't yet know, the text says, the text doesn't say if He shall appear, but instead it says when He shall appear. Do you remember in John chapter 14, around verse number 2 and 3, where Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a time that will be. What a gathering that shall be when Jesus brings us into the Father's house. Won't that be wonderful, church? All we have to do is just know and do God's will and read the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, "As it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love Him." Church, all we got to do is just hold on. We've got to hold on to the unchanging hand of God. We've got to keep trusting that whatever things are now, they shall not always be. Jesus is coming back. In Ephesians chapter 5, around verse number 25, the Bible speaks of He's coming back for His church, which He gave Himself, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. One day Christ is coming back, and He's coming back for His church. One day Christ is going to come for the church, and we need to be make sure that we are ready when He comes. And how do I get ready? Well, you get ready through the Word of God. You get ready by serving the Lord and doing His will. And if you don't know what the will of God is, just open the pages of the Word of God, and you'll find what God's will is for us. Jesus gave Himself for the church and gave Himself for us. And He's coming back. Stay in the church and keep holding on to your faith, because I believe the best is still yet to come. Sometimes as we go through this daily walk in our lives, we sometimes get caught up in things, and we sometimes can't get out of situations that we have gotten in, and sometimes we just need help. And when you need help, you must call upon the Lord. You must call upon the Lord. And I know that things were bleak the other day when all that rain began to fall, and some of us said to ourselves, Lord, is it ever going to stop raining? Well, see, you've got to understand something. God knows when to turn the faucet off, and He knows when to turn the faucet on. God knows every drop of rain that falls upon this earth. God is an amazing God, and there is no other God like God. And we being His children ought to be a privilege for us. And like I always tell you, you need to always pray. You need to always be praying and either thanking God or asking God or just praising God. You need to always have a prayer in mind for the Lord. And all that rain, you should have been able to say, thank you, God. That means the seed are going to grow, the plants are going to grow, and the lake will be replenished, so when I turn on the faucet, I can get water. Yes, some of us got water in our basements, but we can bail that out. But we must learn to accept the fact that God knows what He is doing. And I don't question Him about His weather. I complain just like everybody else. I wish it wasn't so hot. I haven't had a chance to say that yet this year so far. But I know it's coming. Because just as soon as July gets here, somebody's going to start wondering, wonder what happened to that cool weather we had in April. But I tell you something. God knows how to control everything on this earth. And God is totally in charge. He always was, and He always will be in charge. So the question becomes, what's in store for us? God wants His children to have the best, and the best is where we hope to spend our eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal, whereat? In the heavens. There is a place. There is a place for us that is real. It is a place like no other place. It is a place that we have never seen before, but we can visualize it through the Word of God. Jesus spoke to it as His Father's house in John chapter 14. Abraham looked for the city which has no foundation, where its builder and maker is God, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Stephen saw a peep of it when the heavens opened up in Acts chapter 7. When he was being stoned. John saw it in Revelations 21, in chapters 1, verses 1 and 2. But the best part of all, is that we as children of God have an opportunity to get there. It is a prepared place, but it's for those who are prepared. And Jesus went to prepare it, but now we need to prepare ourselves according to His Word that we may get there. And you know, when you look at heaven and you read about heaven, you think to yourself, there's a song that some of the churches used to sing years ago called How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. I think about that sometimes. The few times when I get to ride on an airplane and I get up high in the air and I look out the window and all I can see is the clouds and the sky, and I say, heaven must be beautiful because it's beautiful up here. I'm away from the earth with all of its troubles. I'm up in the air. And I think of my, I say to myself, thank God, Lord, but just do me one favor, Lord. Make sure that I get down safely. I appreciate you putting me up here and getting me up, but put me back down on solid ground. I want to be in heaven, but right now, Lord, I'm just not quite ready. So if it be your will, just set me back down on solid ground, if you will. But I like when I read about heaven, and according to the Word of God, it says there shall be no more tears, and God shall wipe away all tears. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. The fact of no more hurting should be enough to make most of us want to get there. And no more crying is good for me. I tell you something, you ever watch some of the shows on TV? You ever watch this show called Undercover Boss? And in the end, when they start giving away, the bosses start giving away all these people, to these people, their money, all these money and everything, they start crying. Brother Carter starts to cry. I'll be just as happy as they are, and I don't have nothing coming from them. But I'm just trying to show you, if no more tears will come our way, I would love that. If we live right and we don't have to cry anymore, when we don't have to cry no more by living right unto death, we can go to this place. We are the children of God. God is our Father, and Jesus is our brother. Look at the text again. Beloved, now in verse number 2, but let's go verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And then verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Won't that be wonderful? Won't that be a time, church? Church, you don't sound like you want to go there. There you go. There you go. God has this place that's ready for us. If we just but live right. God, once again, is our Father, and Jesus is our brother, and God takes care of His children. So I ask the question today, have you found yourself a Christian, or have you found yourself not a child of God? God knows those who are His. Are you one of His? Ask the question of yourself. Are you one of His? And if you're not, maybe you should invest your thoughts and your patterns and your ways to becoming a child of God. You want to be called, just like the text calls us, of sons of God. But that means child of God, because that includes women as well as men. So when you think about it, church, how do you want to live your eternity? Or I should say, most certainly, where would you prefer to live your eternity? Now, I know living down here gets troublesome sometimes. Living down here can create trials and tribulations. Sometimes you're at a point where you say to yourself, how am I going to make ends meet when they don't seem to be meeting in the middle? It seems as though every time you get one tie, a loose end tied, a tied end comes loose. I understand that when things don't seem to be going just right and things don't seem to be going your way, it's an awful dark place to live sometimes. Sometimes you wonder to yourself, will I have enough to pay what I need to pay? Well, if God gave you a job, we have to learn to live within our means. And we have to learn to live within the Word of God, just as we learn to live within our means. And once you learn to live in the Word of God, you can be competent and certain that you are on your way. You won't necessarily, I'm not saying that everybody's going to make it now. But you can know that you're on your way when you live like the Word of God teaches us how to live. So again, I ask the question this morning, are you a child of God? If you're not a child of God, you ask yourself the question, what do I need to do to become a child of God? And then you ask the Lord through prayer, Lord, what must I do? Show me what I need to do, O Lord. And then if you're not sure about it, ask somebody in the church, call up somebody. and ask them, what does God expect of me? Well, God expects of you certain things, and the Bible tells you in such and such place that this is the way you ought to be. But you've got to learn what that text says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God and of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. When the world don't seem to know God, don't seem to know you, that's because they don't know God. When the world seems as though it's all against you, and I know what some folk used to say when I was growing up in particular. They used to say, I don't want to go to church with those folk, because all they do is sit up and talk about God. Well, that's why we came to church. All they do is talk about God all the time. I think I told you the story before how at one time when I wasn't in church and I heard the preacher was coming, he'd knock on the front door and I'd go out the back door. I didn't want to hear what he had to say. But now, I tell you something, church. I can't think of anything better to learn what thus saith the Lord than to open His Word. I can't think of any way better than to hear what somebody teaches about the Word of God. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm perfect, because none of us are. I'm not telling you that I'm an angel, because I'm not. But what I do know is that I know what the Word of God says about some things. I haven't learned everything yet, because I'm still learning. I haven't learned yet because I haven't graduated from the Word of God. And I don't anticipate I'll ever graduate from the Word of God. But one thing I do know is that as long as we are living, we need to open the Word of God. We need to live by the Word of God. Now, in living this life, things are going to come up. And as a Christian, somebody said it in Bible class this morning, and I heard them say, as a Christian, we're subject to fall. And we can falter, we can fall and fall. And when you falter or when you fall, the point is, don't stay down, but pick yourself up and ask God to lift you up above what caused you to trip and fall in the first place. You know, and every time you run into a situation, you ought to ask God before you step into that situation, Lord, is that the place I need to go? Or do I need to be there? And with all the stuff that's going on in the world today, there's so much and so many things that a Christian can fall into, so many traps that a Christian can fall into. You know, we can get in trouble just staying at home. We can get in trouble staying at home because somebody may call you on the telephone, and before you know it, needless to say, some of you might cuss them out. Needless to say, some of you may say something wrong to and hurt that person's feeling. Needless to say that you can get in more trouble if you leave home, but I just want to show you that you can get in trouble at home. And if you've got a Bible in your house that's full of dust, you need to dust it off. You need to dust it off and you need to open up and see what's in the Word of God. And yes, I know my time is up. I'm getting through. I'm finishing up. You need to open it up and see what's in the Word of God. Not that you got the Word of God, but do you know the Word of God? And none of us know it all. Because if you ask me some questions, I may have to tell you. I have to go check on that and find out. I'll let you know, though. I don't know it all. I don't pretend to know it all. And if I ever get to the point where I know it all, I want you to tell me you don't know everything about the Word of God. Because I don't. But one thing I do know is that if I can open the Bible each and every day, I have an opportunity to learn the Word of God. Because I'm a child of God. We are all children of God if you are a Christian and following His will. And do you remember Jesus in John chapter 10 where He said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me? Well, just remember, He knows us. He knows those who are here. And God has called us through Jesus to be the sons of God. Jesus adopted us as His brothers and sisters, and God took us in as the Father. Isn't that a wonderful thought to know, church? That God is our Father. That's why we need to be especially cautious on the way we react when we're out in the street. I saw Brother So-and-so, and he sure didn't look like no Christian to me. I saw Sister So-and-so, and you should have seen the way she was dressed. She didn't look very Christian-like to me. So you've got to learn that you are not a Christian on the Lord's Day only. But you need to be a Christian how often? Every day of every week. Not of some weeks, not of some months, but every week, every day of every week, of every month, of every year. Now, does that mean you're going to be perfect? No, sir, no, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. You are subject to fall, just like I said, I can fall. Just like I said, I'm not perfect. Neither are you going to be perfect. But you know what? You can try coming as close as you possibly can by doing the will of the Lord. And if you're not a Christian, if you have not invested yourself in being a child of God, well, first of all, if you are a Christian, but you've walked astray, you've left the Lord, you can come back by asking the Lord to strengthen you, by asking the Lord to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you. And if you've never been to the Lord, if you're not a child of God, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson will do it even today. It's not too cold for him. We'll turn the heat on in the water, and from what I'm told, it sometimes gets like a sauna in there. Brother Jackson will put you down today, and you can get into the Lord, become a member of the Lord's body, if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Page 16.